Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is your momentary host, Dave Atwell speaking, filling in for Dr. John, who is currently stunt doubling for Gilligan. But Skipper has gone down there and saved him, and he is on the way in, so he'll be running late. But otherwise, everything is good in Pop Cultureville. With all that said, let's go ahead and start with the introductions of my most esteemed colleagues, panel, buds, and homies. First off, Granny Hulkster, talk to me, young lady. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's been a great week. My Chiefs won Sunday, even though Patrick Mahomes was taken out of the third quarter. But praise the Lord, he did not have a concussion, thank goodness. So it's possible maybe he might get to play Sunday, I hope. So, but I tell you, Chad Henne really stepped up and really did an awesome job along with the other Chief players Sunday. So I'm happy. So now we take on Buffalo. So, but
Granny, you remember what happened the last time the Chiefs played the Bills in the AFC Championship game, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that was then. This is now. I still got faith in my boys, you know.
Just thought I'd mention it.
I know, Todd, I know. But you know what? Like I tell people, win or lose, I will always support my Chiefs no matter what. I mean, you know, it's, you know, we're playing in Kansas City, so we're playing, we got home field advantage, so it's all going to be good. So I got faith in my boys. I got faith in my Chiefs, so.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm good. I mean, you know, it's been a little cool today, a little rainy, you know, weather's been a little, my son's birthday is Saturday, so a big shout out to my son, Anthony Watkins. He will be 34 on Saturday, and we're going to a wrestling show for WFC in Owosso, and we're just going to make a day out of it. He's going to take his little dog with him, and because the hotel that we're going to spend, since it's going to be so late when the show gets over with, we're just going to spend the night in Owosso. They allow their pet-friendly hotel, and because my son's little dog is kind of like a service dog, they're not going to charge us anything extra for Mysterio. So, you know, we're just going to go for the day and, you know, just have a good time, have a good family day, you know, to celebrate Anthony's birthday.
Work.
So,
good call.
Outstanding. Yeah, pass on a happy birthday from all of us. That
I will. I will.
To hear.
I will.
Hope you enjoy
I will.
Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, yeah, he will. He will. Because he doesn't know it yet, but the villains, the little group of guys that he likes the heels, you know, they're giving him a free shirt for his birthday and a free ticket to the show. And I'm going to take a couple birthday cards and get all the wrestlers to sign the birthday cards. And they're going to come out either before the show starts or maybe at intermission and give him his birthday cards and his T-shirt from the villains and Wrestling for a Cause. So, you know, it's going to be, that's going to be a surprise. So
how cool is that? You know, those are the kind of gifts, you know, you can't buy those at a store. Those are the kind of gifts that you remember, you know, so that's awesome. Good to hear.
Yep.
True.
Yep.
That.
We are going to move on to our next colleague in the far, far north. Not so far, but further from where we're at. And I'm sure his weather is probably a lot less friendly than what ours is being tonight. How hard are you shivering up there, buddy?
Quite a bit. It is chilly. It is chilly. Like you said, not far north, but farther north than you folks, and definitely feeling the nip of the winter air, yes. And taking a stroll down memory lane, I believe this is the same cast that we had on, may not have been the first time I called in, and I will iterate here, it was not, I don't think I was speaking, but maybe when I called in, I believe the first, if not the first, maybe the second time I called in, It was just you, Dave. It was you, Todd, and Granny was a guest. And I think I called in just to listen. I don't know if I chimed in on anything. So that just happened to hit me as Granny was talking. So that's kind of cool. Another stroll down memory lane. Got the old vintage Xbox out. Got the Xbox out. Kids were playing with that. And I'm enjoying my new favorite cocktail is 7-Up and Cranberry. And I've got one right in front of me. And that's keeping me warm. Not really, but I like to think that it is. And I'm looking forward to a tremendous show tonight.
Outstanding. Well. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, you have been nothing but an excellent, more than welcome addition to the show. And the bad news is that means we're a year older, and it's gone by that quick. But nevertheless, yeah, it's been very good to have you aboard. And holding true to the promise from last week, I am drinking your vodka and cranberry as we covered in the pre-show. So just pretend, like Mr. Rogers used to tell us, the land of make-believe, right? But Tim, it's good to have you on. Though you don't have to change your shoes or get on the train, right?
So, wow.
But not least, my good brother and local compatriot, Todd. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I'm outstanding, the supernatural, ecstatic to be here. Happy to hear about the birthday plans coming up, Granny. That sounds like, man, sounds like you're doing it upright for that young man. And I just, I don't know. I thought I'd mention, Dave, how warm did it get here today? Did it hit 59 degrees?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Knock it off.
Yeah, it wasn't balmy. But it was enough to where you walked out and you didn't have to worry about, you know, shrivelage or anything else. So, yeah, it was a pleasant, cool day.
I will go with
well, it
the
was, yeah, it was in the four. It was in the 40s here in Arkansas, and then the rain moved in, and then it dropped down into the upper 30s. Like, I don't know how cold it's supposed to get tonight, but, you know, so I'm sitting here in my nice, toasty computer room just – with my jacket on, just because it is a little chilly outside tonight.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, it's actually a pretty pleasant time. I don't know about where you're at, but here it's chilly, but there's no wind, and it's not that achy joint kind of cold. It's still chilly, but it's not one of those ones that makes you want to, you know, freebase ibuprofen just so your knees will quit screaming. So, yeah, it's a pleasant evening.
Yep.
And
say, Tim, if it makes them feel better, it dropped fairly quick from 59 to 37 at the moment, just saying.
Wow, that's a bit like what it does in the Midwest. You know what they say in the Midwest? Weather stick around a day.
Yeah, we got that 25 to 30 degree temperature swing. It's not uncommon this time of the year, and it's going to keep dropping. So I just figured I'd rub the former high of the day in your face and just, you know, run with it.
That's what they say in Arkansas. If you don't like the weather, wait till tomorrow. It'll be totally different. So
years ago, I had a friend who was actually living in Alaska, believe it or not.
We really had a friend years ago.
Just one.
Just one.
Yeah, and then eventually he found out better. But he was coming down from Alaska, and he asked me, he says, so tell me about the weather. And I says, and the best way I could describe the weather here in eastern North Carolina is that you get the worst of every season. And he said, he said, that doesn't sound very promising. I says, well, it ain't, because the heat is a swampy, waterboarding kind of heat. The cold is a damp, bone-aching kind of damp. It's not that peaceful kind of cold that you get in other places. It's just a oogie, hurting kind of cold. You get hurricanes, you get tornadoes, and up until probably about 8 years ago, we never had earthquakes, and now we've had like three in the last 8 years, so God knows what in the hell that means. But, yeah, fall is nice, but fall is like spring in North Carolina. It's not even purgatory. It's today it's 82 and sunny. Tomorrow it's 43 and sunny. The day after, it's 44 and rainy. And then later on that evening, it'll be 75. That's another thing about North Carolina weather. There are times at night it actually gets hotter overnight. So, yeah, North Carolina weather is maybe it's a little better on the other side of North Carolina, but I know here on the coast it's feast or famine. Either you're having a good day or you're just like, God, take me now, you know?
Well,
we were just having the temperature bulb today.
I was going to say, to follow the temperature bulb, the weather here is mercurial.
Ah.
See what I did there, right?
That's right. But with all that being said, still waiting for our co-hosts, John and Velvet to join us, and pending on their rescue mission that they're on right now. Well, Dr. John's got some of the worst luck, but nevertheless.
You know what? Let's get some kudos out there. That's I hate to say it, but there's probably people out there that would end up in that fertilizer sandwich where they need a rescue, and they don't have somebody willing to come and rescue them. They don't have somebody that'll really do it. So big props to Velvet.
Yeah,
yep.
No, Todd, along,
for sure.
Along those lines,
sure.
It made me think, and obviously that is quite a predicament, so I'm not trying to make fun here, but when I first heard that, all I could think of was, and I used to run into the frickin' scam artist. They would be around, you guys probably don't know the area Broad Ripple here, but you'd have this one clown would come around. He had a routine that he would try to pull every weekend. And he'd go up to someone and say, "Hey, man, my car ran out of gas. I'm from out of town. I'm just trying to pick up my daughter in," and he'd rattle off some town and say, "Can you just give me like $20? And if you tell me where you work, where you live or something, I can come and I'll drop off a 20 once I can get some money out of the bank. But he had like a 20 I can borrow." So I'm picturing him, you know, stumbling around the gas station like, "Hey, man, you got $20 I can borrow." But not trying to make fun, but thinking of that scenario, rough.
Well, you say that, Tim, and that reminds me of a situation. One day I was here by myself. My husband was at work, and it was daylight, thank goodness. But this guy, I heard a noise, and my big dog, he was like growling in the back, and you know, like that deep, you know, very protective growl, like, you know, and he was trying to get over the fence, you know. And so I didn't go completely outside. I just kind of cracked my door, and this guy comes walking up. He was in a blue dress shirt. He had red hair, red beard, kind of scuzzy looking. And he was, you know, "Hey, my car ran out of gas three blocks from here, and I've got to get to, so, you know, do you have some gas I can have, you know, in a gas can, blah, 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 blah." I mean, he didn't really ask me for money. He just asked if I had any gas. And I'm like, "No, I don't," you know. And he finally just kept on walking down the street. But I literally thought my dog was, and, you know, he was like half Mountain Cur, half Lab, and, you know, brindle marking. He's about 86 pounds. I thought he was going to jump over that fence. And I'm like, okay, I was about ready to sneak out my back door, put him on his leash and take him out to the front yard and say, "Okay, buddy, you want to mess with me? You got to go through my dog first. You know, my dog will protect me." But he didn't ask for money. He just wanted to know if I had any gas. And I'm like, "No, I don't. You know, just move along. Get out of here before I call the cops." You know. But,
and it's unfortunate because there are the people that are truly just looking for gas, you know. I mean, that is a possible scenario, but you got knuckleheads that try to pull the scam. So just, we can't trust anybody.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm even leery of helping people on the side of the road these days with flats and that kind of stuff. I mean, you could just there's no telling. And to be honest with you, panhandling though is actually a very lucrative. And I've said this many times. We had a gentleman that used to hang out down around the Piney Green area when I was in high school and in my 20s. I haven't seen him in years. I do not know what happened to him. I wish him the best because he wasn't, he needed some help. But he would always walk around with a change. Now, if you break down the mathematics of panhandling, stop and think about it. You've got 60 minutes in an hour, okay? And I'm going to throw some digits at you guys, so don't let the trig make your head spin. This is easy stuff. If you've got 60 minutes in an hour and you ask 100 people per hour, which breaks down to like a person and a half a minute, which is really nothing, especially if you're in a crowded area or a stoplight, a long stoplight, something to that effect. Okay, so out of 100 people, you ask for a dollar, and you have a 10% success rate. You're making $10 an hour, undocumented, at a 10% success rate. So, not to tell everybody it's a good idea to drop what you're doing, quit your job, and go panhandle now, but it is. It's if you have that ability, and there are people out there who are, in need. But yeah, for the people who do this stuff professionally, it's. But again, it's like everything else. There's an honest guy and then there's a dishonest guy. And unfortunately, when you are in that situation where you're in need of cash, be it immediate need or just a general need, folks these days have grown weary of it because of the bad guys. And it's a shame because, there are people out there that genuinely need help and perhaps won't get it.
We have our Arkansas Moose Association conventions down in Little Rock, and we used to be at this one hotel, and there was like panhandlers pretty much on every street corner. And I know one time I went down with a friend of mine, and we had just pulled into the parking lot at the hotel, and I went in to go get a cart so we could unload, her pickup truck. I had a ice chest. I mean, it wasn't a real big one, but it had a few drinks and some snacks and some food in, to keep in my hotel room with me, while we were at the convention there. And I wasn't even gone 5 minutes, and somebody took my cooler out of the back of her truck. And the hotel, they didn't replace my ice chest, but they did replace They said, okay, what'd you have in it? So I made a list of, the stuff I had in it. And they went to the store and they replaced my food and drinks pretty much as best they could, They didn't replace my ice chest. But I just thought that was really odd that nobody, nobody saw anything because it was like daylight. Nobody saw anything. I mean, just it was there and then all of a sudden it was gone. I guess somebody needed the food and drinks more than what I did, and so.
Now I'll tell you, there was a guy, it was 2014. I think I went to Baltimore to see some games up there in Camden. My brother, myself, and my dad went up there because we hadn't been to Camden yet. And from all of us, being from D.C., we hadn't been to Baltimore in years. And we stayed at a hotel that was, maybe a block or two from Camden. And we're walking. And, of course, you've got the people there with certain dependencies, and you can tell, coming up and asking for your money and everything. But then there was one gentleman who was obviously, He was obviously in need, and but he had a cooler full of ice. Where he got the ice, I don't know. Nevertheless, and this is genius, and this is where I didn't mind giving this guy money, but he had cases of water, and it had a cooler full of ice, and he was offering people bottled water on a July afternoon for $2 a bottle. Okay, and you know, first thing you think, $2 for a bottle of water. Bear with me on this. You figure,
well, that's cheaper than the Carlings.
Well, exactly. And you figure a case. What was the case? It was like $3.50 for a case of Members Mark water, Todd, back in the day.
Something like that.
So, and you would get 40. But for the sake of easy math, let me say you got 40 for $4, which is a dime a bottle, okay? And he's selling these for $2 a piece, which is an $80 case, $80 per case, not to mention when people just hand him extra money, hand him a $5, don't ask for the change, but nevertheless, if he was to go through an entire case, yeah, and you're looking at $80 per case with a $4 overhead. And he might have dumped $5 in ice. So, again, for the sake of easy math, $80 back off 10 for your overhead per case of water. That's not a bad idea. I had absolutely no problem giving that gentleman a couple bucks for a cold bottle of water on a hot July afternoon because that gentleman was trying. That gentleman was actually using his head. That gentleman was trying to work his way to a better time. So
I've actually seen people here in Arkansas do that, case of water, and they had a sign, you know, dollar a bottle, you know, just trying to make a honest living, you know. And
And if you're willing to go through all that rigor to make the buck, then by God, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem at all. So, not to start off the show with 20 minutes worth of panhandling advice, but we wish Dr. John, we wish him luck, and we hope he is doing well and patiently waiting for him to sign in. Hopefully, it'll be soon. I'm looking forward to knowing that he is okay and no longer stranded in the fine city of Charleston. So, in the green room, or prior to green room on our little message board, I had mentioned that we had no guests tonight and politely asked everybody to bring a topic or two or three. So, Tim, I'm going to put you on the spot.
That's all right.
Start it up for us, buddy. What you gotten on your mind?
Well, all right. So, this is what... The funny thing was I had to make a last-minute Walmart trip just in time to call into the show. And I was thinking to myself, I thought, you know, I don't think there's a guest, so maybe I'll just start doing my little brainstorming. And not to try to turn this into one of those radio shows or anything like that, but I thought it'd be kind of fun just to keep in the spirit of things. I know everyone has their own different political opinions, but let's just honor the day for what it is. And I thought maybe we could have a little bit of trivia. Shut up, Todd. Just a little bit of trivia for what it's worth on Inauguration Day. So I thought maybe let's just do like, I don't know, two or three. And the other thing is here, and Todd, I don't know if you had to do this because I was using my work computer trying to, and it decided to go through the update process. So stage 2 of 3, setting of updates, don't turn off your computer. So I'm relying on my phone. So bear with me here. But I thought maybe just two or three. I did find this little fun fact. Let's see how I can word this into a question, though. Does anybody know what day of the year, we'll put it that way, Inauguration Day used to fall on before it was moved to January? Move the day to.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
That's a juicy little nugget. I got no idea.
I would have to think it's in November.
Incorrect. You're way off there. It used to be held on, and let's see, this is according to, I'm not sure of my source here, and I won't give that away so no one goes out to try to cheat. But according to this, inauguration day used to be held on March 4th. The 20th Amendment, certified 33 and commonly known as the lame duck amendment, moved the day to January 20th, or 21st in the case the 20th falls on a Sunday, a lot closer to the start of a new Congress. That makes sense. So, wow, used to be March 4th.
Wow.
I did see something that I thought was kind of neat. Who started the, according to, it was just in the news feed. So, and I can't even tell you what the source was. Don't remember. Don't know that I'm that worried about it. Actually, it might be the Federalist Papers or that I saw it on. I'm thinking that, but I could be wrong. Who started the tradition of leaving a letter for whoever was the president-elect that was coming in and taking over the Oval Office?
Ronald Reagan.
Bingo.
Yeah. I knew it was recent. I'm going to say recent in, you know, the grand scheme of things. That's kind of recent. But, yeah. He was a good one.
Well, you could eliminate McKinley, Garfield, Kennedy, and Lincoln. You can eliminate those four right off the bat.
Actually, do you know that they, all three of them, had something in common?
That.
And I know that takes away the whole Lincoln, Kennedy, Kennedy, Lincoln thing, because I said all three.
Now, when you say three, are you speaking on Garfield or McKinley?
Oh, I believe all four, now that you go that way. All four had one thing in common.
They were all shot.
They all. There is that lead poisoning. Although one was a doctor's botched job, theoretically, the intent with the doctor's botch is a great conspiracy theory. But apparently all of them wanted to get rid of what eventually formed to become the Fed as far as for the monetary system. There was always some form of it in various times, and every one of them wanted to do away with that, because that ye old bankers guild that was running that stuff is one of the, it's just a really interesting thing. I was going, something I managed to get to watch. I want to say it was on Amazon Prime. It was pretty cool though. Pretty cool. I just thought that was interesting that all of them effectively, because again, it wasn't always Federal Reserve.
Right.
But in the guises over the decades, all of them were in the mode of getting rid of it, trying to making it not easy for it, trying to change things, and all four of them, coincidentally.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my next one, and if you guys are as terrible as I am at history, then there's no way anybody's going to get this. But maybe we have some Jeopardy folks that, you know, love this kind of stuff. But this one is kind of interesting. I'm not going to say funny, but it's interesting. Does anybody know, and we'll go with, you can give me the time frame also, what the actual time was. Anybody know who served the shortest amount of time or how long that time period was?
Oh, God, there was one president who only served like 6 days and then died. And I want to say he was in the 1800s, early 1800s. It was, I say early, like 1830s, 1840s. Chester Arthur?
You're right. It's 1841. I don't see 6 days. This says a month. Again, I don't know the credibility of this. But it says a month later he died of pneumonia. was William Henry Harrison. And ironically enough, the other record that he has is the longest address. So he gave the longest address and then also became the shortest serving. Oh, and looks like he was first to die in office. So there's...
Yeah,
wow.
Sometimes you don't want to be the first. Just saying.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to jump on that one.
I'm going to do one more. This is all I got. All right, last one. This one might be able to get. Somebody might be able to get this. What is the coldest January inauguration on record? We'll say what president.
Oh, damn. Well, it would have to be when we were able to actually monitor that. So, damn. I would go with Teddy Roosevelt. Let me just take that one. Shoot from the hip.
Anybody else have a guess?
You know, my first thought is it made a reference to near the Revolutionary War time frame that it was a little ice age. So I kind of just generally go with the, you know, little ice age window.
Granny, anything from you?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea on that one.
You're going to kick yourself. Ronald Reagan, 1985.
Really? Really?
7 degrees with afternoon wind chill range of 10 to 20 below.
Wow.
The coldest March goes to Ulysses S. Grant. That was in 1873. So, again, you got to remember, whatever that date was, it used to be in March. But then in what year did I give it? Switched to January. So if anyone tracked, that should include you in a little bit. 1933, it switched from March 4th.
Wow.
So, all right. That's my time. if we enjoyed this.
No, that was interesting.
Well played.
Yeah, I was going to say, well done, because that just verifies your global warming there, Greta. So, yeah, not to get off on the tangent about our little rabid friend, but nevertheless, it's kind of funny how the global warming stuff is now climate change, which is something nature does. I imagine those cavemen during the ice age were probably walking around going, what in the hell? So, you know, nature has its way of editing itself. So, so things are changing and perhaps we will be having, colder and or warmer ones. But so far it appears that the climate change has made things colder here in Eastern North Carolina, I can tell you that damn much. But yeah, Tim, that was good, man. Outstanding. Definitely something different, not political, because I was sitting here gnawing on one of the railings here on my deck when you mentioned the inauguration. I was like, I promised myself I wouldn't lose my shit today over the inauguration, but, you know, I've maintained.
Let's just have one quick good comment on that. Apparently, everything went smoothly, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is good because the last thing we needed was some clown activity. Regardless of who's going in there, the inauguration is a very solemn and a very unique and a very special event, which I like to think is sole proprietorship of this country. You know, other countries handle things in different ways, but here in America, we do have a very special and honored way of handling that, and I'm just glad to see that nobody tried to poo skid up that wonderful privilege that we have in this country. So, but yeah,
agreed.
Yeah, I definitely concur. So, Tim, well done. Outstanding.
Well, let me turn the table. No. What you got, Dave?
Ah, well, mine is kind of mine's kind of silly. It's not silly, but it's one of those hmm things. For those of you who keep up with me on Facebook, probably saw the pics of me and the wife's trip to Southport, North Carolina. Southport, North Carolina, back in the 1800s, was the Wilmington of today. And if you go to Wilmington, North Carolina, it's a large city now on the coast. Big port activity, big resort activity, colleges, commerce, you name it. 150 years ago, though, Southport was that town before Wilmington came along. Nevertheless, there is probably, I don't know, I'd say 100 yards of property there. The water comes up to a bulkhead that's all stone. And during high tide, the water will go directly to the bulkhead. But when low tide happens, some places 5 feet, some places 25 feet worth of sand you could walk on. And when you do your shell shooting and that kind of stuff at the beach, normally you're just walking down the sand, bend over, picking up, you know, random shells and stones. This, on the other hand, is reeds, rocks. It's not for the faint of the leg. You have to definitely be able to walk. You have to definitely watch the time, because as the tide comes back in, it reaches the bulkhead in different places. So you can actually find yourself stranded there on the shoreline if you're not paying attention. Nevertheless, when you go down there, you will find these red rocks that are perfectly smooth, perfectly round. They are bricks that have been in the ocean since the 1700s when they built Fort Johnson down there, that have been rolling around the ocean. It's almost becoming as smooth as an egg. And so the wife and I were down there. We found I don't know how many chunks of unrefined coal from these steamships. They used to run up and down there in the 1800s. Bones, we found various. Dale found a rib bone. I found a large vertebrae. Pottery. You find all kind, anything but a shell and a rock is pretty much what you find down there. Nevertheless, I found an odd-looking shell, bent over and picked it up. And I said, God, that's a crazy-looking shell. And I rolled it over, and it was a face. And it was actually the head, a broken head of a statue or a statuette. I've been looking up all week long trying to find out whether it's bisque. It's not porcelain. I don't know if it's ceramic. I don't know if it looks too old to be modern, but it looks too good to be old, if you understand my meaning. But nevertheless, while I was looking up these things that might have floated up on shore, there was an offshoot about the Titanic. Okay. I don't know if you guys ever read about the Titanic conspiracy theories. Okay, one of which was J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan, it said, and this is a bit outlandish, but it said that J.P. Morgan, his direct competition was gentlemen like John Astor, Guggenheim, and there's one other one that was on there, Rockefeller, that was on there. When it comes down to business, they were his direct competition. Well, as you know, those three gentlemen ended up perishing on the Titanic. Well, J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the Titanic and backed out at the last minute. And there are conspiracy theorists that he set things into motion. How he guided that thing into a damned iceberg is beyond me, but nevertheless, that's one conspiracy theory. But here's the other one.
You're saying that he guided the boat into the iceberg. The easy answer is he guided the iceberg into the boat.
Right. He willed it that direction. Come here, iceberg. Come here, iceberg. So the other one that I read
was that the Titanic isn't really the Titanic, that it was its sister ship, the Olympic, okay? And this was an insurance scam by the Blue Star organization who built the ships, okay? Now, apparently the Olympic that was built 2 years prior to the Titanic had an accident in transportation and damaged the ship, okay? So the conspiracy theory is that they took the Olympic, dressed it, and renamed it the Titanic, knowing that it wasn't structurally sound, and put it out in the water. So the Olympic is the one that's sitting in the bottom of the ocean, and the Titanic, the real Titanic, was the Olympic. So, you know, you read these things and you start, you know, we're speaking about, you know, fraud and that kind of stuff before the show. It's got to make you wonder. And as many times as I've said it over and over about I'll quit believing in sketchy things when people quit doing sketchy things, it's got to make you wonder, despite the fact that it's pretty damn far-fetched because there was a different design. By and large, anybody who was on both ships could be able to tell the difference, but wouldn't that be something if they had actually pulled off the ultimate insurance scam and put a compromised ship out on the ocean like that? To claim insurance money. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. It's one to look up if you're sitting on the turlet and you've got nothing else to read about, get your phone and look it up. If you're one of those smartphone toilet readers like I am, check it out. It's worth it. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty nifty. It kind of distracted me from my unsuccessful search to find out what type of statuette this thing I found out on the shores of Southport was. But nevertheless, something different, something cool, made you kind of,
oh God,
you know, roll your eyes up.
Something that cracks me up, just the thought.
I got a little
phone and toilet, Dave knows the story. It is ruined.
Yes.
I think you tell the story better than I do, so I just thought I'd throw it out there. It just came to mind when you...
Yeah. But, yeah, with that being said, I will pass it on to Granny. Granny, what you got?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, man, you guys are hard acts to follow, let me tell you. I really was trying to think of something good, some sort of good topic to talk about. I mean, you know, and I'm just kind of still sitting here. I've had a lot. I'm, you know, trying to, I like to multitask, and I'm pretty good at multitasking, and I'm, you know, getting ready for the convention coming up in February and in Little Rock, you know, and everything. And I'm heart of the community chairman. So I'm working on our project that we're the organization that we're going to be helping. So I'm working on stuff on that. I'm working on getting ads for the program ad book for our lodge. And we do this program ad book, you know, twice a year for the convention, and everybody goes convention gets, you know, one of these ad books. And the way it works is we go to our local businesses and our members within our town, you know, and say, hey, would you like to put an ad in the ad book? And there's like three different prices. There used to be four, but everybody, we kind of done away with the $15 business size card ad book. So I do that for our lodge. And so I've been multitasking for the last week and a half, give or take, and working on stuff. So I'm just trying to think of a really good topic that we could talk about, you know, and just trying to think here.
Well, if you have to, dear, we can pass it along to Todd.
and come back around.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Todd. Go feel free to jump in, my friend.
Okay, I was going to wait for that, but I think Tim had something in between.
Okay, go for it, Tim.
Hi, you caught me. Yeah, well, all I was going to do is point out a little fun fact in the I would say Armstrong family, but his last name was not Armstrong. But I have a relative who survived the Titanic. And honestly, I probably shouldn't advertise this, but I believe he was kind of a shady character. He was a bit of a hustler. And I know that people were warned about him. So I'm assuming there was some kind of gambling or whatever that took place on one of the decks. And he was there usually hustling. And I'm not even sure if he used his real name when he was on the ship. But all I know is, and I can't even think of his name, it escapes me. My mom has told me a couple times. He's on my mom's side of the family. And he's like a great uncle of mine or something. I don't know. But anyway, he was one of the last men on the last boat who actually made it away. And then just a few weeks later, he was hit and killed by a cab in New York City. So just a little fun fact there. Thought I'd share.
Hmm.
That is interesting. Small world, what are the odds topic-wise and all that? That's actually kind of neat. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me throw something out there. Conspiracy theory stuff. Let's run with it. Your fault, Dave. The we all know there's been variations of the New World Order going back forever, and I guess I'm probably guilty because I kind of brought it up with the permutations of the Federal Reserve going back through time. How many? We've all heard some of these different things, these groups that meet in these different places and all that. Any of you ever heard of the Bilderbergs?
The Bilderbergs?
Yeah.
Like build a bear, but build a bird?
Oh, my God. Nothing. Damn, you got cretins. Just cretins.
That was good.
Right.
That was good.
It was. I mean, for somebody that don't know a damn thing, that was a pretty good answer. The sorry, I didn't say that out loud, did I? But I actually found out that crap is real. I sent it to Dr. John about a month ago. I got a copy of the WikiLeaks document drop.
Real?
Anybody interested?
Get it.
Go for it.
No, I mean, it would have to be sent. I got a copy of the WikiLeaks document drop. I'll drop it in the team chat.
I think you already sent it to me.
I think I did send it to you, Tim.
Yep.
The,
Again, though, anything is possible.
Oh, dude, I mean, there's some scary stuff in there. Stuff that's in there, and I do believe I did send it to Tim. There's some of the little gems. There's a bunch of Hillary's missing emails.
Ah, imagine that. Not that that would ever happen.
But for the Bilderbergs, though, what was kind of cool is basically it has what we call memorandums for the record, has the attendance roster and a summary of the meeting minutes, if you will. How you like that one? I'll dump it in the team chat.
That way we can have the FBI on our doorstep in the morning.
There you go.
Well, you know what? Aside from that one car that's been over there and that unmarked van over there and the same drones that keep circling the house, I haven't been able to tell anything different since I first started sending it out.
And you notice the Tulsa gathered is gone quiet.
Complete tangent. Dave, one of our common friends threw a note out a couple nights ago. I guess it was. Was it Monday? I think she sent it out Monday about here in Eastern Carolina. If you went out somewhere there, I think just before 7 p.m., you were able to watch the International Space Station go by, and we actually had a nice clear night.
Oh, really? No, I did not see that.
Yeah, Chrissy Lessie posted it. One of our author buddies.
Yeah. Talk about the ISIS.
She did. Well, the whole thing is, it was a true post. Chrissy, our wonderful, literate, well-written author, read a quick blurb headline, said the ISS will be over the Carolinas at such and such time, I think 6:51 to 6:54, heading from southwest to northeast. And God bless Chrissy. She sends it out saying, "Oh my God, I thought it was ISIS is over North Carolina or over the Carolinas." God bless our girl. But yeah, I went. I double checked her the thing that was out there, and I was like, "God, Chrissy, that's actually a good post." But hit my daughter up, called my son. He grabbed his wife, went out. Son and his wife got the bonus shooting star. Kind of
cool.
Yeah, right. Just one of those things, you know. It's not something you see every day, so it's kind of cool.
I usually got to be 6-7 drinks in to start seeing spaceships in the sky. So yeah, it's pretty unique to do it sober. You know what I mean? It's something totally different. So yeah, but that was another. That's another. I don't know how many times I've done that. Where looking at something and kind of your mind puts the trick on you. Because you read it too fast, or you know, you're thinking one thing and reading another type.
Oh, but, Lord, yes.
So that being said, Granny, I'm going to swat it your way because I have to run towards the woods and fetch one of my dogs real quick, like before I make a fool of myself, yelling her name and cussing her and everything else like I do when we're not on the air. So before she's eaten by a Sasquatch, let me excuse myself for a quick moment and go fetch her so she doesn't go out in the woods. Granny, take it away.
Oh, well, I'll do my very best.
And to be clear, if we do hear him fussing, yelling, and cursing and using a female's name because all of his dogs happen to be female, depending upon the name, I will be able to tell you the truth, whether it is his wife or one of the dogs that he's yelling at. Just thought I'd mention that.
Okay, well, let me see here. I'm trying to think of something funny to share tonight. We need to have a good laugh. Let's see, what could Granny share with her words of wisdom that would be really, really, really super funny?
Just trying to think of stuff that we can run along with, stuff that we've covered. Actually, I think one of your funniest moments was at Tim's expense.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember that. I remember that quite well. That was funny. That was funny that night. Yes, that was funny.
Anything I can do to help?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, when you said that about your lovely wife, you know, I just couldn't help but just throw that in there, you know, like I did, and it just fit so perfect.
Well, for the listeners that didn't catch it the first time, Granny.
That's true. That's true. Okay. Well, you know, I think we had a guest on that night or something. Dr. John was interviewing someone, and we were talking, and Tim all of a sudden says, "Well, my wife is just like Sergeant Slaughter because he's not the big-time wrestling fan like some of us are." And he mentioned, you know, my wife is a lot like Sergeant Slaughter. And I said, well, we all know who wears the pants in that family.
She did. She didn't even pause before she blurted it out. It was awesome.
I didn't even pause. I just, you know, I just blurted it out. Just like, wow, you know. So, well, let me argue with it either. I know you didn't. I know, and I was very proud of you. You just like total agreement, you know.
Even have to counter with "Thou dost protest too hard." And Tim,
right.
It is updating right now. Just saying.
Well, and speaking, you know, staying on the track of wrestling, you know, like Granny likes to do, you know, as much. And I have thousands of stories that I've had over my career of being the big wrestling fan that I am. I just happened to see tonight before we called into the show. There was, you know, like, you get those little Facebook memory things that pop up on your Facebook, you know, like from 3 years ago or whatever, you know. This was from a WFC show over in Owosso, January 20th. Of 2018, so it was exactly 3 years ago. And my very good friend Paul Puerto Rico was facing Prince Mahaly. Now, I always called him Princess Molly or Crybaby Molly, you know, because he always liked to complain and he always acted like a crybaby. Well, he would come out with his flying carpet, his little rug, you know, he called it his flying carpet. And he had the little pointed boots, you know, like the Iron Sheik did, you know, back in the day, you know, and everything. And he said, yeah, I can't believe he used my own rug on me during this match, you know, and then he put the angry faces. Well, during the match, Mahaly, you know, they're wrestling, and he kicks Paul in the head with his foot. You know, and so Paul, he's grabbing the banister, and he's close to where I'm sitting on the front row. And so I just stand up, and I act like, you know, when you know, the little grandkid gets a boo-boo, and, you know, granny kisses the boo-boo to, you know, make it better. I just act like I kiss Paul on top of the head, and you can hear me going, mwah, you know, in the video, you know. So the match continues, you know, and everything, and Mahaly, he gets thrown out of the ring, and, you know, he gets back in, and Paul just kind of headbutts him, and all of a sudden, Prince Mahaly jumps down to the floor, and he puts his hands down by, you know, and he's jumping around, and, you know, and he's like, and he waddles over to me with his hands down there in front of him. He says, Granny, kiss it. And I said, no, I'm not kissing that. This is a family show. He said, will you kiss his head?
Whoa.
You know, yeah, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you know, no, we're not going there. No, I'm sorry. You know, like, and you can hear me say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not kissing that. No. You know, I mean, just, you know, but that being said, you know, so.
That's one funny story. I got some of the wrestling stuff that cracked me up over the years. See, it's funny you mentioned the pointed toes thing because it made me think of a match where, I'm trying to remember who they are, or the org, Velvet's familiar with it, and Papa Stroh's familiar with it. It was in a tag team match where they lost, the reigning champs lost the title. One half of the current tag team champs going into the match had those little pointed-toed shoes. And when one of those challengers did the whole routine where he fell on the foot of the champ with the pointed-toed shoes and started yelling and screaming like that shoe went up his butt, it was just... so much fun. They you know... We talked about it before about going to the Chaz Moretti would call it the minor leagues. I'm a big fan about referring to it as the indies. The family fun, great stuff. There's always something in one of the shows that make me laugh. There's always again, I refer to the whole Mike Mosley routine. He's acting like he is going off on that kid. And he's, when he ends up yelling at that little kid, "You're so ugly, I could be your daddy." And my son and I were almost messing ourselves. We were laughing so hard. That stuff was so funny. Because, I mean, he was so loud, so obnoxious. And the only thing he was doing, well, I guess he took the kid down with him, but he definitely took himself down harder. And it was just freaking great the way he did. I mean, those guys, they can be really, really good. And it's always a little more fun when you see them, if they see the crowd having fun, they can have a little more fun and all that stuff, and it tends to be contagious.
Well,
I tell you what, refreshments are cheaper than going to the circus, than going to the air show, than going to, you know, it just is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, for Wrestling for a Cause, I pick up merchandise a lot of times for the promoter, you know, and everything. So he gives me a discounted price on my tickets, you know, for picking up the shirts, because he lives in Tulsa, and where the guy makes his T-shirts at, you know, that guy's T-shirt shop, you know, is in Fayetteville, which is not very far from where I live. So I pick up shirts a lot of times for Tim. And we went to Tulsa, and we were doing a show at a church, and Trevor Murdoch was doing a training seminar with the wrestlers. Now, for the most part, the average wrestling, quote-unquote wrestling fan, would not normally get to see something like this. You know, it's for the wrestlers, you know. But because I kind of help, you know, I help pick up merchandise, I'm kind of like part of the staff, you might say. You know, they consider me and my family part of the WFC family. So my husband and I, we went to that show, and we got there early because we had to, you know, bring shirts that day. So we got to sit in on that training seminar. So Trevor was kind of like talking to the guys, like telling them how to work the crowd, you know, doing this and doing that, you know, and everything. He says, and then you have people like that God-fearing, loving woman over there, Granny Hulkster, you know, and he keeps on doing his thing. And then he starts talking about smart. He says, and then you have the smart marks who think they know everything, and he's kind of pointing at me. I thought Tim Rockwell, the promoter, was just going to fall off the ring rope laughing about this. And I said, Trevor, I don't know everything. And he says, darling, you know more than most. And I said, well, in that case, yes, you're probably right. But so I was talking to a friend of ours that's a wrestling manager, and his name is Steven, and his name's Steven Espinoza, and his character name, when he manages, he goes by Steven E, as you know, as a manager, and he's always the heel manager, always the heel manager. Well, I call this guy, I call him Stephanie. That is my name for him. I call him Stephanie. So we were talking. He says, yeah, he says, you're part of that extended wrestling family, Granny. You and David and Anthony, you know, you're that part of that special extended wrestling family where you would get, you know, the normal fan would not get to set in on this. Well, Trevor did another training seminar for Tim at another wrestling show in Tulsa for WFC, and he was like, go to Granny, use her as your goal, make her mad, piss her off. And I'm like, Trevor, okay, don't give these guys any idea. They, you know, they give me enough grief as it is, you know. And
oh, you thrive on
that
attention.
Was the night that was the night, that was the show that they told me, Drake and Sam told me before the show, Drake says, Granny, we're going to handcuff you to Pierce during the match. And I'm like, okay, they did. They literally handcuffed me to this manager during the match because he was in a fury.
Granny, real
so
quick.
So he finally. Real quick,
got to ask. I know it's a family show, but I'm going to ask anyways. Is that your first experience with handcuffs?
Yes.
Yes, I just was handcuffed to this wrestler. I was just handcuffed to this manager, okay? I mean, I've never been handcuffed before to anybody except this wrestling manager. And he finally got the keys.
Did they give you a safe word?
Oh, you're funny. You are funny. But Pierce finally got the key from somebody, and he unlocks his part of the handcuff. He says, "Now, you old bat, you're on your own." And so I'm standing here. I said, "Okay, whoever's got the key, come unlock me." You know, because I had the one handcuff still locked around my wrist, and the other part of it was just dangling in midair. But it was all in good fun. You know, I mean. I tell you, I have had so many funny experiences over the years with wrestlers and things that they say to me. I mean, they threaten to throw me in the ring. They, you know, they say, "Sit down and shut up, you crazy lady, before you break a hip." I mean, I never know what they're going to throw at me, what they're going to say to me. So I always have to be thinking two or three steps ahead, because I never know what these guys are going to say to me, ever. I mean, I never know what they're going to say to me. But it's all fun.
Good deal.
I know it's fun, you know. Now, for the dog listening public out there that is probably sitting on the edge of their seat wondering what happened with my dog, since I left that on an open bound, I'm going to tell you how intelligent these animals are. So I've got Misty, which, of course, is the Mastiff, which I rarely have to worry about her getting anywhere, because she gets about 30, 40 feet from the house and goes, "Yeah, I'm a little wore out. I'm going to head back in." She's definitely a couch potato. But my two rescues, Sadie, who is a lab hound mix, and Mika, our tree walker hound puppy that is turning into a beast. Sadie was the one who was out there walking at the edge of the woods. So I don't know if you guys heard me. I tried to squelch my voice the best I could because, yes, the language was probably a little better than R-rated. And I got within 5 feet of her, and I've got the spotlight on her the whole time. And the whole time she's watching me walk up to her. And I got in my Yosemite Sam walk going, so she could tell I'm mad. I get about 5 feet from her, and I'm letting her have it verbally. And right when I get in reach of reaching down and grabbing her by the collar, she squats and poops. And I was like, I'll be damned. This dog is genius. She played me like a fiddle. So I excused myself on the air to walk all the way to the edge of the woods to grab a dog that had to poop the whole time and watch me walk all the way out there, cuss like a sailor, just so she could go and get the last lap. He took two of
yes, and did she look at you and say, "Can you smell what Sadie's cooking?"
She dropped a healthy loaf right there, and I will be damned, folks, if she didn't just jog briskly by me and beat me back up to the deck. So when I went to let her in the door, I'm just looking at her. I'm like, "You know, you little shit." Yeah, I wouldn't take this much off my kids. You're lucky you're a dog, you know that? But these dogs are far more intelligent than I'll ever give them credit for, or I'll ever become myself. So that was absolute genius by that little
I will just say, apparently smarter than you, because I'm just
Well, I concur, because I walked all the way out there like a knucklehead, and she watched me do it every step. And now, I will say this. I'm going to file that away, so the next time the wife goes to chewing my tail, I'm just going to go in the head and sit down on the toilet. Can't get me. I'm going poo. But yeah, she is fine. Good to be back. It's and it's funny, you know, Todd, you've been out here to the house. These woods behind my house, though it's not the thickest, most overgrown piece of forestry you'll ever come up on. You know, you can get through it. And there is another, there is a rural road probably a half mile from the house that has another subdivision on it. And if you were to go, I don't know how long, you'd have to cross a creek, and you would come up at the back end of that subdivision. Because I've Google mapped it, the whole nine yards, just in case, you know, the dogs do get a little out of hand and jump the water and head into the woods. But this woods has got a bounty of wild animals in it. We have two owls that regularly, and you guys might have heard them on the air from time to time, but they get rather loud at night. And we do have a large hawk that spends some time in this maple tree here on the property. But nevertheless, you know, when they when the dogs get close to the woods, I can't help but get a little addled because I don't want anything happening to my dogs. But, yeah, for me to march all the way out there and for her to squat and do that, that was just absolute genius on her part. I got to tip my hat. And well played. Well done. Just when I thought I was, you know, higher learning, the advanced species, she's probably in there laughing her ass off at me right now. And, hey, well deserved. So.
Actually, she was taking a note from Steve Martin. That whole old routine, I think it was his, some of you may remember this. I think it was on the Wild Crazy Guy album about the whole breaking up with the woman and you throw the doggy poop on the shoes. I break with thee, I break with thee, I break with thee. We throw doggy poop on their shoes. So we go to the swinging singles clubs and look for the woman with the doggy poop on their shoes. I think she just did a variation of that to you. She just
yeah.
Steve Martin you.
Yeah,
you know what?
Good.
If she's got the little doggy arrow through the head thing, that'll be the next. You know she's been listening to some Steve Martin.
Yeah, she's been in there singing King Tut as we speak. As a matter of fact, he had a one-liner the other day. Apparently he received the coronavirus injection, shot, whatever you want to call it. And he said, the good news is I got the shot. He says, the bad news is I got it because I'm 75.
Right.
You know, it's hard
right.
to think.
Yeah.
You know, we just had Don Sutton pass away, the pitcher. Of course,
yeah.
Hall of Fame pitcher and former sportscaster of my beloved Atlanta Braves. But, you know, it's so hard. And for those of us that are getting a little long in the tooth, it's funny how it's kind of, you know, you read these things, you're like, Steve Martin, 75? And you actually start doing the math in your head, and you're going, how the hell can he be 75? Well, numbnuts, you're 50. So anybody that was an adult when you were a kid is probably in the 70s. So,
oh, hey,
yeah.
Speaking
I was in,
of you turning 50, did you get that gift certificate for that procedure yet?
No. No, I haven't. Because
I went, looked under, you know, the doctors with the largest hands possible to find your procedure.
Yeah, it'd be my luck. Andre the Giant would be my proctologist or something like that.
I still remember Jack Elam from the Cannonball Run. He'd hold up those big gnarled hands,
yeah.
Arthritic freaking knuckles. And
they say in my profession, I really need more than this. It's old Burt Reynolds in the forehead with his finger. Yeah, it'd be my luck. Just about the time I was getting ready to go under in the examination room, I would hear, well, it's the big show. And the next thing you know, the lights would go out on me, and that would be it. I wouldn't be lucky.
Pretty
much. I wouldn't
much.
Be lucky enough to have a midget wrestler get in there and help me out. It'd be some guy with, you know, iron skillet hands or something. But no, the colonoscopy and beyond has yet to happen to Buzz Lightyear. And no, I'm sure I'll
but
go one day.
In all seriousness, when it comes for that stuff, The actual procedure, they've got all the stuff to work some of that, to go through the procedure, where the procedure itself taint all that. The old days of, especially if they're injecting and worrying and looking for stuff and all that, the old highly iodine-based injections and this, that, the other thing, those are pretty much a thing of the past. The procedure itself is not horrible. It's actually all the prep work that is just holy hell.
Yeah.
I will reference the Big Bang Theory, Wallowitz's mother on the commode saying, "I'm like an upside-down volcano here." pretty much. Been through. I've had to deal with those wonderful pseudo Gatorade things that you drink. Number of times. Those are no fun. But once you get past that, it's actually not all that.
When your irregularity is irregular by human standards, and they still make you drink that stuff, that's pretty vile. That's part of the thing that I might not be able to even walk into the examination room after drinking that stuff.
That's why they make you start so early the prior day and all that kind of stuff. Look, since they came up with that stuff, I think the average male dies with this much undigested red meat in their. Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah. Now, I will say this. It'll be a much better procedure if they're playing Lou Rawls in the examination room when they put me out. It'll make me feel a little more at home and comfortable knowing that somebody's fixing to jab a 9-iron in my nether realms. As long as Lou Rawls is on the loudspeaker with the, "You'll never find another love like mine."
Well, it could be Freddie Mercury. "Get down, make love."
At least it's not Fat Bottom Girls. That was the big one that was scaring me, you know. So it's but it's funny about going to the doctor. I am one of those guys, and I am the atypical male. I do not go to the doctor unless I'm injured, and I know I have to change that habit if I want to continue living, which is all a choice we have to make. But it's funny, and here we go, we're speaking on conspiracy theories. I am very leery. I've always said that, you know, a cure for cancer is out there, but there is no money in the cure. The money is in the treatment. And
yeah, there's no money in a healthy patient.
Correct. So if you go to the doctor feeling like $1 million, you'll come out feeling like 17 cents and change, because he can't have you leave that office feeling like $1 million. And for a guy who is 50 and, you know, could probably stand to drop 10 pounds, but is on no medication and not morbidly obese, and, you know, could still keep up with most of the young folk. I'm not anxious to go by the doc and have him tell me that I've got some rare tropical disease that, you know, I'll look at the doc and say, "How long do I have to live?" If it's anything above 25 years, I'm okay, because I'm already 50. And alluding to what I said the other night about a life sentence in prison, is that once you hit 50, what's a life sentence? Really? So, going to the doc, it'd be my luck. I'd go in.
Hell, once
like,
you're married, what's a life sentence?
Yeah, ain't that damn. In more way than one. And I'll end up walking out of there with, you know, $350 a month in prescription medicine and everything else, and I'll feel worse than I did going in. So all that being said, I'll eventually man up and give up the machismo thing and go on in there. But no, to this point, and I'll be hitting 51 in May, so it's drawing near. I'm going to keep right on riding it out, barring any type of bear or shark attacks or gun wounds or, you know, meteor strikes or something like that. So,
just look at me, Dave. Yeah. I go into the hospital, come out, and all of a sudden I can't drink anymore.
Well, exactly my point, you know. And
there it is.
And then, of course, you know, if I can't drink anymore, the world won't be a safe place. So, yeah, it's one of those things where I've got to.
Hey, we're suffering that time crunch here. And just a handful of things before we actually get down the proper doing our little plugs here and all that. I want to mention before our next podcast, on the 26th of this month, two things going on. Papa Stroh's birthday, I believe it's the 26th. So happy birthday, Rob. Love you, brother. Want to throw out my son EAS is on the 26th of January. So that's a big deal. The fact that our brother, the Amazing Velvet, David, love you, is the kind of guy that is there for other people. I know he's out there helping out Malcolm. Malcolm, love you, miss you, bro. The Velvet, golden, dude. Not just amazing, golden. Hell, platinum.
Absolutely.
That you're there for Dr. John. Those kind of people, it's I just want to tell you, that's the kind of people that are on his podcast. It's part of why I have so damn much fun. Now that I've killed everybody's friggin' plug time, Tim, what's your plug?
Kind of, you mentioned the 26th, Papa Stroh's birthday. Just a little, another fun fact in the Armstrong family, he shares a birthday with my son, Tanner. He will be turning 9 years old on the 26th.
Happy birthday, Tanner.
Yep.
Yeah, you got that right.
And happy birthday, Stroh. So,
Granny.
Well, just, you know, like you were saying, you know, Velvet helping out other people, you know, I've always, you know, tried to help people too, you know, that's just the way that I am, you know, and I don't expect anything in return, and I just do it because I care about my friends, I care about my family, you know, if I can help, you know, I'm here, you know, I'm here to help any way I can, and that's the way I've always been, and you know, just everybody stay safe. Everybody have a good rest of the week. You know, I love everybody. Love everybody on this podcast. I'm just so blessed and honored to be part of such of a wonderful group of guys such as you are. And, you know, I mean, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughter, you know. I tell you, it's great to be working with people that you can really truly call your friends and consider family. And I know that I have not met any of you personally, but just the time that I have been on Pop Culture Stars with you guys, I just feel like I've known you guys forever. So, you know, I just, you know, I love y'all, and you know, y'all just mean the whole world to me. I mean, you know, just, and someday I hope I can make it down in your part of the country and get to meet you all, and we'll have a big happy family reunion and just meet up somewhere and just have a great old time, you know. So
I sincerely hope so.
Hey, Granny, you'll be happy to know.
Yes,
I read that Patrick Mahomes' mom was ripping Mac, whatever his name is, the guy that nailed Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mahomes,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read that too. So, I mean, you don't call him Pat, you call him Patrick. I mean, his mother gets very upset if you call him Pat. And I know there was one announcer, one guy done during the halftime report show, you know, he was saying Pat Mahomes, and Boomer says, "What did you call him?" He says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Patrick. I'm bad, Mama Mahomes. I'm sorry, Mama Mahomes. It's Patrick, you know, because she does not like anybody calling him Pat.
Tim and I work with somebody that's kind of sort of the same way. We have a certain director that actually goes by. It's Patrick. It's not Pat.
Yep, I was corrected. Not by him, thank God, but I was corrected. I was told that it is Pat, not Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, oh, by the way, you know it's a name that is also tends to be a lot like that? Is interesting, Michael. People are either straight up Mike or they're Michael. There's not a lot of, I don't care. All right. Before we go off on name tangents, speaking of names, let me say a bad one. Dave, what you got?
Yo, it's funny. My folks still call me David to this day. They never bought into the Dave thing. I've been going by Dave since I think sixth grade, and they still to this day call me David, and just one of those things. So, no, my thing is wishing the best to our cohorts. Sorry, the cold is getting on my tongue here. Dr. John and Velvet, of course, out there doing the rescue mission, and hoping that they're doing all right. And Malcolm, if you're out there, we feel the same about you, brother. Hope you're doing fine. We understand that you've been busy and everything, but just hoping everything is well on your end. Real quick.
Indeed, brother.
From social media, unintentionally. And for about a week, I did not look at any social media. And then I kind of eased my way back into it. And if I saw something that was derisive or hateful or spiteful or mean-spirited, I simply scrolled by it and continued.
Oh, wait a minute. You didn't stop
friends and
family. Then make some foul comment in reply?
Yep. And I did not
So you're allowed to do that?
Right. And I did not privy myself to anybody's medical expertise or anything else on social media. I just simply scrolled by it. And I've been doing this for 2 weeks now, and I got to tell you folks out there, it's probably one of the best things that I have done. So I'm not saying abstain from it, because social media is a good thing. It keeps us all in contact. It keeps you close to people who aren't close geographically. Don't get wrapped up in it anymore. Just move away from the hate, move away from the disparaging
negativity.
Comments. And the negativity, you got it, because it will do your soul and it will do your days wonders. It damn
sure
will.
Sure will. The again, I don't know if Velvet or Dr. John are listening, but let's make sure at least one of us remember to post in the group chat. At least say, let us know, arrive safely type thing. The show's just a show, so to speak. Ain't the same without y'all, mind you. But we just want to know everybody's back home safely.
Yeah, make sure
everybody's
doing
all
right. All right. Dave, you got the countdown.
Yeah, I am heading. I'm just about here towards the laptop. And before the British lady gives us the signal, I will say thank you for joining us. And y'all be good one up. And thanks again for joining us here
on
Pop Culture Starter. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Take care of one another. Big hugs.
And.